Tonight we want to conclude our study together of the subject asking, seeking, and knocking. Talking about, in the Sermon on the Mount, our experience that we have righteousness at our fingertips if we will but do the seeking, the asking, and the finding. We concluded this morning looking at ask and you shall receive. And we talked about this morning briefly that those who ask in faith without doubting. Asking in faith means to ask in confidence and trust, believing that what you ask for, God is well able to do and to answer. Those who obey and worship God. If you remember when Jesus healed the blind man in John chapter 9 and verse 31, and they tried to trip him up in his story, he told them that we know that God does not hear sinners. And God's not going to hear those who live and walk contrary to his word and then make their request known unto God and that God's going to answer it. Doesn't work that way. We also know that those who ask according to God's will. Take your Bibles on and turn to 1 John chapter 5. And in the Epistle of Love by the Apostle John, he makes this argument in the last chapter of the first letter. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, he would write, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if God answers our prayer according to faith, when we ask according to his will, that makes it extremely important that you know what God's will is. How can you pray according to God's will if you don't know what God's will is? And the only way that you can know God's will is to look into his word and find the knowledge that contains the will of God. And so it makes it a premium, not only that we pray with faith, not only that we worship and obey God, but that we know what God's will is so we don't ask amiss. But you must do more than just ask. I think sometimes we make a mistake in that we stop after we ask. But there's another point. We must seek. Diligent and persistent seeking is asking plus action. Turn to Luke chapter 11, and we have an example of this in the New Testament in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse number 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 5. He says, "And he said to them, which one of you have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. But I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." You see, asking plus action. You do more than ask. You've got to do your part in putting the asking with action. One must actively endeavor to obtain the fulfillment of what he's asking for. I think sometimes, and I'm amazed by this, that we do we just ask and sit and wait for the answer to fall out of the sky, for God to send it from heaven. Let me give you an example. Maybe you prayed, or maybe you've asked God to increase your wisdom and your knowledge in God's word, but what do you do about making that come true? Well, one of the things you can do to help to do that is study more, to meditate more, to look into God's will more. And then God will bless you with the wisdom to understand what you're reading and make the proper application in your life that your wisdom grows. You see, you ask and you do. You have to do both. You can't leave one undone. You have to do more than ask. You have to do the part that God intends for us to do. In my study of God's word, brethren, God is not going to intervene to do what we can do for ourselves. Whatever God has given us the ability to do, that he expects us to do. And that is our obligation to do. But when we ask according to his will, and then we do as much as we can to make that come about, then those two things work together to give us the things that we are asking for. though they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things would be so. What if one asked for an increase of a deeper knowledge and richer knowledge of God's word? Well, you would have to search daily to make sure the things you would find. That's what they did in Berea. They searched the scriptures daily. They increased their knowledge to a deeper knowledge of God's word. That's what they asked for, and that's what they received, because that's what they did. We also see this in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brethren, this is something that we have the ability to do. This is something that you and I have the ability to increase our knowledge by looking and meditating and studying God's word. Now the Bible says in James 1 verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, do you think God's just going to miraculously present the wisdom to us? That he's just going to miraculously put it in your head so that you'll never forget it? No. You've got to do that part yourself. But when you do that part, God will give you the understanding to make the proper application of that truth in your life that will make your life better. Pray that you would be more faithful in your attendance and worship and in gospel meetings and in Bible studies. Well, how can you make that come true? You ask God to make you more faithful. Help me be more faithful. Help me to be more diligent in attending worship service, in attending gospel meetings, and in my Bible study. You pray and ask God to help you with that. What can you do to make that come about? Well, the Bible tells us what we can do. Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, you got to make a decision whether you're going to do the things that's going to make this possible to come about. Just wishing it would happen, praying that it will happen, will not ever make it happen. You know what this is called? This is called a good intention. Good intentions are meaningless. They're absolutely meaningless unless you follow through. The seeking is the following through. Asking and then seeking to do the things to make it come about. Pray that the Lord to help me to mold my life closer to the will of God. Lord, help me to walk closer to you every day. Okay, I pray God to help me do that. How do I make it come about? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. You want to be more spiritual minded? You want to be closer to God? You want to mold your life to be more in context with what God would have you to do? Put the Word of God in your mind and see if it doesn't happen. You see, brethren, this stuff is not difficult. You've got to ask, but then you've got to do something that shows that you want what you're asking for. Sometimes I think we want God to do all the work and we get all the benefit. Brethren, it's a two-way street. God will do His part, but He expects us to do our part. We have to do the seeking. That is not going to be miraculously done for you. That's not going to be miraculously done for me. You know, I've been asked numerous times since I've been preaching. You know, how do you remember all the stuff you remember? How do you put it all together? How can you go through and remember dates and facts? And how you can go through the Bible be able to put the Bible story. You don't have any notes and you don't have a Bible, but yet you're in. How do you do that? I'm going to tell you something, brethren. I don't have a great memory and I don't have a photographic memory and I didn't do it with some sleight of trick. You know how I did it? I had to get my nose in the book. I had to study. I had to meditate. I had to apply what I learned. I had to make sure before I get up and start preaching to people that I knew for sure that that's what the Bible said, and to say it in an understandable way that people could understand it and make application in their life. But the only way I can know that it's true is I had to do the study for myself. And brethren, I'm afraid that I'm not going to try to shock you, but it's not going to be any different for you. You know, I really wish. That I could take the knowledge that God has given me and the knowledge that I have through my personal study, that I could open up your brain and I could pour it in there, and I could make sure that it stayed there. That'd be great. Because then you would all grow. But I can't do that part. That's the part you and I have to do for ourselves. We have to ask, but we also have to seek. And then that brings us to the last point. Knocking. What does that mean? Well, knocking is persevering. Knocking is asking plus action plus preserving. Persevering. Persistent even in the face of adversity and trial. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice in the text it says, giving thanks always. Always. A continual action. Something that you continually do. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Being diligent in all things with thanksgiving. Being diligent in prayer. And you know this verse. Pray without ceasing. Now, brethren, you know that doesn't mean to pray 24 hours a day. That means that prayer is part of your life. It's not something you do once in a while. It's not something you do when the feeling comes over you. It's something that's part of your life. It's a habit that you built into your life. That's what God wants us to do. The persistent in spiritual matters, even in the face of adversity and trial. Blessedness. We talked about that in the beginning of our character. A godly influence. I want to have a godly influence in my life. How am I going to do that? How am I going to have a godly influence in a world in sin and darkness? I've got to work at it. I've got to put my time and effort in it. Right standing before God, thus rewarded by Him. I've got to conduct my life in accordance to His will. I've got the physical needs and eternal treasures. I've got to be able to know, and I've got to be able to balance them. And I've got to be able to put them in the proper place. Physical things are one thing, spiritual things are another. I've got to put one above the other. Too many times we try to gravitate to both, and it doesn't work. One is always going to have the upper hand over the other. Which is it in your life? Mercy. We've got to extend mercy, and we've got to extend it in a way that God extends it to us. We've got to have balance. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the prophet Jeremiah said, you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Brethren, God's not hard to find. God's wisdom's not hard to find. God's knowledge is not hard to find. The easy part's the asking. The hard part is the doing. And that's where we often fall down. We expect God to do the majority of the work and again for us to benefit. It just doesn't work that way. Those who ought to be perfect, being rewarded by God, we talked about all this earlier. Eternal treasures, again, we talked about all of this earlier. And we need to continue to seek for His mercy. Now, the one who seeks with a sincere desire to obtain true righteousness, expected of him in the kingdom, will find all the blessings associated with it. Brethren, this is an ironclad guarantee from God. If you seek with sincere desire, that doesn't mean lip service, that doesn't mean eye service, that means someone who genuinely wants to be all that God would have him to be. To be the kind of child that would be effective, that would be efficient, that would grow, that would be a light, that would be an influence, that would be an example, that would be a godly husband or wife, or would be a godly example at work. If you sincerely desire to have that kind of righteousness in your life, you can expect of Him in the kingdom, you will find all the blessings that are associated with that type of faithful life. God guarantees it. What do you know about God? God doesn't lie. God does not lie. All these things, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Seek the kingdom of God first and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the blessings of being a Christian and being in Christ. Philippians chapter 4 ends in verse 13 that I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. There's not anything you can't accomplish. There's not anything you can't do if you're not willing to do the things that God would have you to do. You see, you've got to develop a godly character. Now, brother, nobody can do that for you. Nobody can develop your character. That's something that you're self-made. Your character is what you make it to be. My character is what I make it to be. You have to let your light shine. I can't do that for you. You can't make my light shine. I can't make your light shine. That's something that you have to do within yourself. You must do what is right in dealing with others. Brethren, you interact with people all every day. You interact with your family. You interact with your children. You interact with people you work with. You interact with your friends, with your neighbors. You interact with people every day of your life. You're the one that's going to have to demonstrate that you have a different focus, that you have a different goal, that you have a different mindset, that you have a different way of doing things because you're a child of God. Now, we don't do it in a haughty way. We don't do it in an arrogant way. We don't do it in a put-down way. We do it to just show that there's a better way to live. There's a better way to conduct yourself. And brethren, we do this every day, whether we know it or not. Every day, ladies and gentlemen, you're either influencing somebody to live for God or you're discouraging them to live for God. We do it every day of our life, whether we ever acknowledge it or understand it. Seeking to please God in our deeds, in our worship, in our service. And you know how I could sum that up? It's a total commitment. It's a total service that involves every aspect of our life. Putting God first in His kingdom, we talked about that at great length. And we also talked about being merciful in our attitudes. And brethren, especially our attitude towards one another. We need to be merciful extremely in our attitude one with another. In other words, it all falls back to us. It falls back to the individual. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to do it with diligence. You know what that means? That means you've got to put some effort in it. That means you're going to have to spend something. You're going to have to give something. You're going to have to give of your time. You're going to have to give of things that you would rather be doing. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. Brethren, nothing is worth having unless you're willing to pay the sacrifice to get it. That's true in life, and that's especially true with being a Christian. You've got to have diligence. You've got to have perseverance. You must not be easily discouraged. Brethren, a lot of things in life can discourage you. Brethren can discourage you. When you know they could do better, they're not doing better. And when you know they could be doing things that they have the ability to do and they're not doing, that can be discouraging. Whenever something has to be done, the same people are doing it. Brethren, that is discouraging. And if you let yourself get drawn into that, it will destroy your enthusiasm for spiritual things. And your life will pay a price for that. Through Bible study. Brethren, I'm a firm believer that you can't study the Bible too much. And I'm a firm believer that there's not anything such as too much study. And so, in 2013, I've made myself a promise. I'm going to have classes, I'm going to have a lot of them. You can come, you can sit at home, you can do whatever you want. But I'm going to have these classes. And I'm going to try to give you knowledge that will increase your understanding of your duty to God, your responsibility to your family, and your responsibility to this church. I can't make you come. I can't make you have the desire to come. And whether there are 10 people there or 2, I'm going to have those classes. Because you need them. Brethren, I've been here for almost 2.5 years now. And I think I can make some judgments now. And I think I know what this church needs. And one of the things it needs a spiritual fire lit. And I'm going to strike the match. Because that's my job. To strike the match. But It's up to you whether or not you take yourself and advantage to do the things that will help you to grow and to be spiritually minded. Applying God's Word. Brethren, all the wisdom in the world does you nothing if you don't know what to do with it. You can know the Bible. You can memorize verses. You can quote scripture. You can listen to these lessons and you can listen to the Bible studies. But if you don't know how to put it to use in your life, what advantage is it to you? How can it help you? How can it make you stronger? How can it make you more spiritual minded? How can it make you more focused on spiritual aspects of your life and your influence to others? How can it do that? It can't. That's something, again, that must come within yourself. 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter chapter 1 lists 7 Christian graces. It says at the end of verse 10 that if you do these things, you will never stumble. Add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. Remember that list? At the end it says if you do those things, and you know what the key word in that, in those verses are? If. If is a conditional word. That means if you do them is the only way you benefit from them. You have to do them in order that you have spiritual security that you never stumble. After making a sincere request and having searched diligently, one arrives at the door of the kingdom. Once you arrive there, one knocks out of desperation for that which he or she is shut out from that she or he or she may enter. Now you have the knowledge, you know what to do, you know what God expects, you know how to obtain it. Now the big question is, what do you do with it? What are you going to do next? You see your deficiency, you see what you need to do, you see what you need, you know what to ask for, and you know what you need to persist in finding the answer to. But now what do you do? After you've asked, after you seek, after you've knocked, and you know where you're at, now what do you do? Well, through faith, one will ask. Faith and desire will motivate you to seek. And faithful seeking will bring one to the door of God's grace, His mercy, and His blessings. Knocking is the acceptance and submission to the terms with our diligent search for has found. You see, God will tell you what He expects. God will tell you what He demands. Whether or not you accept it, whether or not you want to do it, whether or not you obey it, that's entirely left in your hands. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean. With all of us, we would like, knock and it will be open. How many of you know this by heart? How many times have you heard it? This is the gospel in summation, in a capsule, of what God demands of one outside of the body of Christ. This is what one must do. But I want you to notice in all of these steps that it is a progression. You see, one has to hear. He has to come in contact with God's Word. But then when he comes in contact with the Word and he understands what he's hearing, then he's got to make a decision whether or not he'll accept it and believe it. But then if he believes it, that belief will not help him unless it motivates him to do something. You see, that faith must lead him to repent. Repent of what? Repent of sin. Because sin separating him from God. And then he must confess that he accepts Jesus as his Savior, and he accepts him as his Master. And he's going to be faithful to him. And then he must submit to baptism because the Master requires it in order to contact the blood of Christ. And then you've got to continue in the Apostles' doctrine to be faithful in death to receive a crown of life. Every one of us could say this by heart, I believe. But do you live it? Do you live what you did? The things that you promised to do, do we continue to walk in that path? You know what God said in this text? Remember what Bruce read a few moments ago. You being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. What is he talking about? Men give good gifts to their children who ask. I would give anything to my children within reason that they ask for. You know why? Because I love them. Because I love them and because I want them to have a good life. I would do anything to make their life better and to make it richer if I have the ability and the capacity to do it. Why? Because I love them. Now, how much more will our Father in heaven do that for us? Does God love us? To ask the question is to answer it. You know He loves us. If He loves us and we need help, don't you think He'll help us? Don't you think He wants to help us? Don't you think He desires to help us? And if we give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father give the things that we need in order to succeed in our life? A good parent will not always confer the very thing which a child asks. You know why? Do you give your child everything he asked for? I never got everything I asked for. Did I think my parents were awful? At times I did. But you know what I learned as I got older? There was a reason my parents didn't give me some things. There's a reason my parents said no sometimes. There's a reason my parents said, you can't go here, you can't do that, and you can't do this. There's a reason behind it. And when God tells us sometimes that, there's a reason behind it. Why He tells us not to do certain things. Why He tells us not to go certain places. When He tells us to resist certain things, there's a reason for it. But all of it is surrounded by God's love for us. Listen to me, brethren. God has never told you to do anything that is not in your own best interest to do it. Not anything. And anything He's told you not to do, it's not in your best interest to do that thing. Because God truly loves us. Do you believe that? Paul asked that his thorn in the flesh would be removed. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, that's not a very good answer. But you look at Paul's life, it didn't hinder him, did it? He just continued going, continued doing what he could do. Some might despair before the lofty demands of the gospel, but God and His blessings are available to all who sincerely require. Now, brethren, I'm not going to sit here and try to blow smoke at you. Being a Christian doesn't mean that there's not any demands upon you, because there are. God makes some demands, and He has a right to make demands. What He is offering is the greatest thing that we could ever achieve. The love that He's expressed to us and the things that He does for us every day, He has the right to demand some things. Brethren, when I was a parent, my children were in my home, and I brought them into the world and we were raising them, I had the right to make some demands in their life. I was in a position where I had a right to make demands of them for what I was doing for them. Now, brethren, how much more right does God have to make demands in my life? In what He does for me, and what He's done for me, and what He does every day for me. God and His blessings are obtainable to all who diligently pursue them. The demand of the kingdom citizens are not too hard for the willing. I cannot tell you one thing that God has ever asked me to do that's too hard for me to do. Now, I won't tell you that some things, it took me a while to understand that. But I learned that it wasn't too hard if I put my mind to it. What must I do to be saved? The Bible tells us that. Search and receive the Word of God. Be obedient, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's what the Bible teaches us. Is that too hard? Is that too hard to be a doer and not a hearer, to be both? Is that too hard? Is that too difficult? I don't think so. To search and receive God's Word, the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul, faith without works is dead, being alone. Those things aren't hard to understand. They're not hard to grasp. You see, in the final analysis, a promise concerning the spiritual blessings of the kingdom, divine promises that our prayers are heard and answered, takes one to do his part. You ask, you seek, and you knock. God does his part. He giveth, he findeth, and he opens. Why? Because he's promised and obligated himself to do so. Brethren, the problem is never with God. The problem will always be with us. God has never failed you, brethren. And God will never fail you. God will always do what He says, and God will always understand that there are needs that we have in our life. And He wants us to ask for His help. He wants us to seek out that help. But He wants us to do what we can in order to achieve what we're asking for. And if we're persistent, if we continue to strive, and we continue to do our part and be confident that God will do His part, brethren, it'll all come together. In closing tonight, we make the Christian life way too difficult. The Christian life is a wonderful life. There's no better life to live upon the earth. It's not always easy. It's not always convenient. But brethren, there's nothing in the realm of spiritual maturity that you cannot obtain if you're willing to do the things to obtain it. You know what I think? I think we do what we want to do. I think we go after the things that we really want. And we don't let anything hinder us to get what we want. And we'll do whatever it takes to obtain that thing that we want. And so the question I ask you tonight is, what do you want most of all? If the answer that you would give me is heaven, then I have this one final question. Would the effort that you put in to getting what you want most, would it mirror the thing that you say that you want the most? And in other words, are you putting all the effort into the thing that you want the most? Or are you putting your effort into other things and hoping that you're going to get what you want the most? That's the question we all have to wrestle with. And so tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we're going to give you an opportunity to become one. If you are already done those initiatives, and majority of you here tonight have already done that, then the question you ask, and the thing that you must ponder, are you still asking, seeking, and opening when God makes the answer available to you? You know what? I remember a story that was told one time. God will always answer prayer, but sometimes, because it doesn't come in the way that we thought it would come, we think He didn't answer it. But sometimes it's because we don't trust Him enough. I want to suggest to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God will never turn a deaf ear to a request, to something that you need in your life, to a desire that you have, and He will always be there to listen. And He will always give you what you need the best, whether you ever understand that or not. But He is never, underline this, He is never going to do for you what you have the ability to do for yourself. God never has. That is awesome. God will always do His part. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us to gain what we both want. A home in heaven when this life here on earth is over. We'll help you in any way. We bid you to come forward as together we stand and sing.